Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Adam McManus also with me today, host from theworldview.com. And today, friends, we're going to talk about the nation divided. Indeed, the nation is divided more than any other time in my history and perhaps any other time since the Civil War. And a huge part of this divide is happening with evangelicalism between the good guys and the bad guys. Sometimes there's miscommunication. Sometimes we don't know why we're divided. Oftentimes we are divided over substantial issues. Sometimes it's insubstantial issues. But do get ready for people who used to stand for truth and righteousness to abandon field. That's what tends to happen in times like these. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives us the heads up. For there must also be factions among you, that is among the churches, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. That is, there's a reason. God gives us these tests. He gives us these factions, these issues that divide, and then, you know, the good guys go on the one side and the bad guys go on the other. Now, the good guys, by the grace of God, go to the one side. The bad guys go to the other. That's what tends to happen. And we are living in an era in which we're not going to see much unity because there are those who want to kill children and those who don't want to kill children. There are those who want to persecute Christians and those who don't want to persecute Christians. And here is a test of unity that comes from a new survey, and it's actually more of a letter titled The 2020 Call for a Biblical Peacemaking, Evangelical Leader Statement on Violence and Division, urging believers to rise up as peacemakers. But is the unity on the right basis? That's the question. Well, signing off on this particular letter called The Biblical Peacemaking, Evangelical Statement on Violence and Division, Tony Evans, Max Licato, Matt Hawkins, the former policy director for Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and Rob Schenck as well, and 200 evangelical leaders as well, seeking unity on the basis of, well, we're really not sure, but unity on something or other, I think.
That's the problem. We
exactly.
Don't want unity for unity's sake.
Right. What is this? I'm not sure what this is, but it's unity for the sake of something or other. Matthew59.org is the website. And I'll just play the little advertising piece on this that's produced by the organization for this particular push towards unity during a time of national division. So this is, here's the video. This is one of the pastors that, Pastor Joel Rainey, who's a Matthew 5:9 member and apparently signed off on this document with Tony Evans and the rest of them. Here it is.
One of the things I love about our church is the political diversity that exists here. This church is unapologetically evangelical. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe Jesus is God, who became a human, who lived a perfect life, who died a vicarious substitutionary death for our sin and rose bodily from the grave, and is coming again. We believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life. I think it's healthy to sit next to and worship alongside someone whose vote this November is very likely to cancel yours out. Because what you're doing in that moment as you worship is you're confessing that there's a higher kingdom that is worthy of all of our loyalty and more of our devotion. And if we'll give our first allegiance to that kingdom, to the kingdom of God, we can actually make the kingdom we're living in better.
All right, so that's the piece that comes from Pastor Joel Rainey on the Matthew59.org site. And this was signed off by Tony Evans, Rob Schenck. You know Rob Schenck, don't you, Adam?
I do. By the way, Joel Rainey from Covenant Church in West Virginia. Rob Schenck is one of 200 people that have signed on to this Matthew 5:9 letter entitled Evangelical Leader's Statement on Violence and Division. He was once the leader of Faith and Action right across the street from the U.S. Supreme Court. In fact, Rob Schenck, I'm almost ashamed to admit, was the officiant at my wedding 14 years ago, November 11th, Veterans Day. He was a regular guest on my old talk show on KSLR in San Antonio, did a daily three-hour afternoon talk show. He was right on the money on sanctity of life, religious liberty, the importance of Christians speaking to the culture on biblical understanding of sexuality and marriage. And now he has totally flipped. I mean, he's the head of a new group called the Dietrich Bonhoeffer Institute, which sounds fantastic in light of Bonhoeffer's reputation and legacy. And I think he's using that to confuse people and leverage himself into a position of influence that, frankly, he does not deserve. And it pains me to say this because he was once a brother in the Lord. We were marching side by side in the culture war, as it were, as Christians. But at one point, he took part in a movie that was funded and, I believe, produced by one of the Disney heirs, advocating for a very leftist understanding of the Second Amendment, advocating for gun control. And now Rob Schenck has, as well as his identical twin brother, Paul Schenck, who's a Catholic priest, they were both very involved in the Operation Rescue movement. They didn't just speak to the issue of abortion. They were literally praying on the sidewalks, urging women to choose life, and even blocking doors of abortion mills in civil disobedience, knowing that the execution was about to happen. I mean, they were that committed to the pro-life agenda. And now he endorses one of the most radically pro-abortion candidates for president America has ever seen in Joe Biden. It's just an absolute grievous situation.
Oh, boy. Well, this Matthew 5-9 organization is bringing these disparate evangelicals together in a we are the world, we are a children kind of a unity. And
kumbaya.
And apparently it's for the sake of the kingdom of God or something like that, according to this Pastor Rainey, who does this this piece for the Matthew59.org site. And the sad thing is that ethics just doesn't show up in all of this. Does the kingdom of God have anything to do with ethics? Does the Lord rule in this kingdom? Is there right and wrong as defined by God's law as part of this kingdom? See, I guess that's my question. What about abortion? Is abortion an issue? Or do we just vote for Biden, vote for Planned Parenthood monies, just, you know, kill as many babies as possible? What about the church standing against the politically correct issue of the day, including the elimination of the Jewish people? You would think that somebody like Dietrich Bonhoeffer would take a strong ethical stance against the politically correct position of the day, something that members of this organization are not doing, evidently.
For Joel Rainey, this pastor of Covenant Church in West Virginia, associated with the Matthew 5-9 group, to say it's healthy to sit in the pew next to someone who will quote-unquote cancel your vote out is just bizarre. I mean, it's one thing to be polite and not to be yelling in someone's face, but it's another thing to back down on your own biblical convictions to the point of being complacent or compromising. If we were living in the days of Adolf Hitler and the Final Solution in Nazi Germany, would any pastor in his right mind, Dietrich Bonhoeffer in particular, in his right mind, say, you'll just need to get along and be peaceful with one another, even though the guy sitting next to you thinks it's okay that Adolf Hitler's killing 6 million Jews and burning many of them in the oven and lining them up and shooting them and burying them in mass graves? We need to be salt and light. Matthew 5:13-14 could not be more clear. If you lose your saltiness, you're not worthy of ministry. You need to be thrown out and trodden by the feet of men.
Once again, it's on the basis of ethics that the evangelical crowd is separating itself and unwilling to take a stand on ethical issues, whether it be the slaughter of the Jews or abortion. And that apparently is what's happening with this Matthew59.org organization. The statement does condemn violence, and I'm against violence, at least anarchical violence in the streets. I'm not sure the statement addressed the violence that goes on in the womb against babies, sadly, you know. I mean, okay, they're against violence. Good. Well, okay, what kind of violence? As in the slaughter of 7.5 million babies each year through the IUD and through abortifacients and the use of surgical abortions? Is that what you're against? What kind of a violence are you against? Or, you know, or do you oppose the use of violence on the part of the civil magistrate, as in defending the nation or applying the sword according to the moral laws of God in issues of criminal justice? The statement implies that church people should be able to vote for Biden or Trump, either one. And friends, there may be a little gray area on Trump, and I understand that, but there's no gray area on Biden. He wants to persecute Christians with the equality bill, and he wants to kill babies. Okay, his agenda is evil to the core. There shouldn't be any question on that whatsoever. And it's evangelicals like this that make me nervous. It's evangelical organizations like this that indicate a strong apostatizing element amongst evangelicalism today. And it seems that some of the major names in the evangelical crowd are part of this Matthew 5:9 project. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as we face a divided nation. Indeed, this nation is divided. And how are we going to fix it? People voting for Democrat and Republican candidate in the 2020 presidential election sitting beside themselves in the church. Well, is that really going to help? Is a unity statement that allows for Christians, evangelicals sitting in the same church to vote for killing babies and not killing babies, is that going to increase the unity and fix the problem for this nation? Is the nation's fundamental issue that the nation is divided, or is the nation's fundamental issue that the nation is killing babies?
Exactly.
See, this is the question. We're going to have to start facing these things. And Adam, I'm not sure that a statement of unity allowing for people to vote for whoever they want to in these presidential elections, and we are the world, we are the children, kumbaya. I'm not sure that's going to fix the problem.
Just looking at the title of this statement, and it's a one-page statement, Matthew 5:9, this new organization, of course, taken from the Sermon on the Mount about blessed are the peacemakers. Just the very title, Evangelical Leaders' Statement on Violence and Division. First of all, there is nobody advocating violence on the right among the conservatives, among the Christians. The people who are advocating violence are those from the Black Lives Matter movement, the Marxist organization that I think co-opted the anger at the death of George Floyd on Memorial Day in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They were the ones looting, stealing, burning things, rioting, hurting police officers, killing police officers, killing one another. That's where the violence came from. It wasn't among Christians. Christians were never advocating violence. So the whole thing smells to high heaven. It sounds like some kind of attempt to pull the wool over the eyes of well-meaning, well-intentioned evangelical Christians who want to live according to the biblical ethic. And yet this, I think, just smells like some kind of propaganda piece, if you ask me. So here's what it says in part. There's 4 points that I'm going to get to, but it says, we are called by God to walk in Christ's footsteps to be peacemakers, not merely peacekeepers in a nation grappling with toxic levels of polarization and the targeting of specific religious, racial, and political groups with violence. I mean, for them to say there's toxic levels of polarization. Yes, Kevin Swanson, Adam McManus, and 99% of this audience are pro-life. We believe the child needs to be protected in the womb. If you want to call that toxic level of polarization and we're somehow guilty of that, well, I guess guilty is charged, but we're not going to back down from what the Bible teaches about the value of each human life in the womb. We know it says that elections, especially a deeply divisive election such as this one, can create pressures to act in ways that dishonor Christ's teaching and biblical values. And then here are the 4 points. One, we engage based on our Christian values, not based on partisan agendas. Two, we condemn violence as a political tool and any language that incites hatred or violence. Three, we reject any effort to impede a peaceful and fair electoral process, undermine democracy, or deny Americans the right to vote. And four, we reject any efforts to sow discord and divide Americans for political gain. I think when we talk about the presidential election, it's not that there is an attempt to sow discord or divide Americans for political gain. It's that it's revealing of what the party platforms stand for and what the candidates stand for. And so this really is all about throwing stones at the conservatives, at the Republicans, at the Bible-believing Christians who stand for a biblical understanding of morality and sexuality and marriage and the sanctity of life. Just to name a few.
Well, I was thinking Jesus is polarized. Jesus is very polarized. You've got the devil way over there and Jesus
way over there.
This is polarization. Right. Those who want to kill babies, those who don't want to kill babies, those who believe in what Sodom did and those who believe in what God did to Sodom. That's polarization. Big time.
And we celebrate that.
We do. We say, yes, we should be polarized. We should be polarized.
Because there's light and darkness. There's good and bad. They're looking at some kind of morally relativistic world that has nothing to do with Scripture.
It's true that you don't solve the problem of polarization. You don't solve the problem of wickedness in the highest echelons of this country by way of anarchical violence. But that's what the left does. That's what the communists are doing. That's what Black Lives Matter does. And I'm not sure this was intended to correct what they're doing. Again, there's a lot of smudginess in all of this. And the devil is very, very good at presenting something that is very unclear, so that the trumpet doesn't make a clear sound, so that the confusion reigns, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is there are issues that are dividing us, and these issues are real. And the church should speak to these issues. And at points, the church should excommunicate people who vote for or advocate the policies of Joe Biden. I mean, that's just it. You don't just run out there and approve of sexual perversion and approve of the persecution of Christians and approve of the killing of babies. The issues that divide us are real.
You're very polarizing,
killing babies,
Kevin.
Persecuting Christians. These are significant issues. And yes, the evangelicals are increasingly divided on these issues. The evangelicals are increasingly encouraging the persecution of real Christians, even as the Council on Christian Colleges and Universities has done, along with Calvin College, Dort College, Biola College, Colorado Christian University, and all the members of the Council on Christian Colleges and Universities out to persecute men like Jack Phillips, men who are owning businesses and yet refuse to celebrate homosexual weddings. Yes, the CCCU is out to persecute Christians, plain and simple. And that's really bad. And they shouldn't do that. It seems to me that Biden voters are supporting the equality law, and their intent is to persecute real Christians. They want to put Christians in jail. They want to fine Christians. They want to put them out of business. This is what Biden voters do, and this is what evangelicals who vote for Biden are doing. Voting for Biden is akin to tossing Christians into the Colosseum to be martyred. And of all the most egregious sins, these are the very worst. And I think somebody needs to stand up and say that we have issues today that are dividing the church. They're dividing between the sheep and the goats. They're dividing between the wolves and the sheep. Did Jesus come to bring peace or a sword? Yes, we're to live at peace with all men as much as is in us. However, it turns out that we will see a lack of peace at times. Jesus gave us that heads up in Matthew 10, verse 11. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into the household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. That is, you take your peace out of there and you are not at peace with that house. And then he says in Matthew 10:34, further on down the passage, he says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person who sits in that pew against the person sitting next to him in the same pew." That's what Jesus said. And it turns out that Jesus puts the idol manufacturers out of business in Ephesus. Jesus doesn't allow for people to worship Caesar and other false gods. Jesus' prophets address social sins and political sins, and that's why John the Baptist loses his head. And Jesus' preachers point out that the religious leaders sinned when they killed their Messiah. That is, they brought out a very important, salient ethical point to condemn the present leaders of the time in which they had committed a capital crime and killing the Messiah themselves. And so Jesus' preachers pointed out that sin and they get in trouble for it. Jesus' preachers basically oppose the foundational ideologies of the day. And yes, there will be a lack of peace as a result. So this kind of thing will happen. As Christians, we don't seek to stir up contention and trouble, but we speak the truth and then we suffer the consequences. And that's what's happened since roughly 33 AD.
I want to say three things. Number one, I don't think that the 200 people that signed this Matthew 5:9 fellowship document at Matthew5:9.org would welcome Jesus as a signer of the document because he doesn't want to have anything to do with this fake unity. Number two, I think that this group is all about intimidating and silencing conservative, Bible-believing Christians who are pro-life, who believe in a biblical understanding of sexuality and marriage, and stand strong for religious liberty and the right to say no to the radical homosexual transgender agenda. And number three, Max Lucado told the Christian Post, "I'm praying for a new season in which we move away from quote-unquote we-they politics into an era of cooperation and mutual respect." Well, I'm not going to cooperate with Joe Biden or any Democrat or any Republican for that matter, they're few and far between, who think it's okay to kill babies in the womb. Or I'm not going to cooperate or have respect for a person who thinks homosexuals should get married or that homosexuals should participate in sexual activity. That is not what being a Christian is all about. Number one, my allegiance is to Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins. I'm assured of an eternal address in heaven. But then what? He lets me live. I keep breathing the next breath because he has called me to his standard, his understanding of the world, and he is asking me to be an advocate for that, not only in sharing Christ and his offer of salvation, but also, in as Matthew 28 goes on to say, teaching them everything that I've taught you. Yes, when we take a stand for these principles like Peter did when they told him to shut up and sit down and 3,000 people were coming to Christ, he kept speaking and they threw him in jail. And most of the disciples, as we know, suffered horrible deaths. Peter was crucified, according to tradition, upside down because he didn't think it was worthy of him to be crucified the same way that Jesus was. All of the disciples, except for John, went to their deaths for taking a stand because it was divisive, because people didn't like it, because it was politically incorrect then, it's politically incorrect now. And if you ask me, this Matthew 9 fellowship group is all about political correctness and telling the conservative Christians like you and me and many in this audience to shut up and sit down and just get along with the people that advocate for baby killing and the radical homosexual agenda. And I'm not going to do it. I don't want that fake unity.
Now, please understand, we're not against unity. We're not against peace. We're just against false peace and fake unity. That's all. And here's the question. We have to come back to asking for clarity. Without clarity, it's demonic. And we need to be asking the question, what is the basis of our unity? What's the basis for the division? If we're going to divide, what's the basis for a divide? What's worth dividing over? And what's the basis of our unity? Well, our unity, God is God. Government's not God. Jesus is the Savior. Government's not the Savior. Politics is not a solution to our problems, but it does reveal the heart. Politics is a test as to whether we're committed to God's law, whether we're committed to redistributing the wealth, killing babies, persecuting Christians, or not. What's our commitment? What's our basic commitment? Politics is a great test as to whether
It reveals.
We are committed to following the commandments of God, or we're opposed to the commandments of God. At the end, it's those who keep the faith of Jesus and those who keep the commandments of God and those that are on the side of the dragon. So, friends, whose side are you on? And I tell you, the 2020 elections offer something of opportunity for that, especially for those who are in the camp of the jellyfish. We should agree to oppose the world at points. As Christians, we should all come together in the same church and say, hey, he that's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So here, we're the enemy of the world, and we are the friends of God. And so there are points at which we don't communicate lies. We obey God, not man. We don't eat food offered to idols. We don't vote for men who don't fear God. And yes, we should agree. There should be some unity in politics. Now, we don't have to agree on which candidate to vote for. We don't have to bring that up into every conversation. But we should agree that politics is not important as a lot of other things in life. We should agree that we don't vote for leaders who want to kill babies and persecute Christians and endorse sexual perversion like Joe Biden. We should agree that there is some gray area here and there. But we should agree that governments... purpose is to punish people who murder people, like abortionists and axe murderers. We should agree generally that our leaders should fear God. We should agree on some basics when it comes to politics. Now, at the end of the day, we may be slightly different. Some might vote third party. Some might vote for Donald Trump. I get that. But man, at some point, Christians should, on the basics, agree ethically on the commandments of God. And at the end of the day, we are not supporting sexual perversion. We're not supporting abortion. We're certainly not supporting the Equality Bill and the Utah Compromise to persecute real Christians who are doing their best to avoid the support of pagan ceremonies and homosexual mirage weddings. All right, friends. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. I hope we've been somewhat clear. And I caution you, at this point, there are different kinds of unity. There's unity around opposition to God and his anointed. That is, the world sets themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. That's the wrong kind of unity. That's peace with one another, but that does not include peace with God. Then there's the unity by extinguishing important differences between the world and Christ, as we've been talking about. That's, again, fatal compromise on the part of the church, and we're not to go there.
Right.
There's also
right.
the unity around innocuous, nice-sounding words. We're all for peace and stuff, which is a lot like this particular statement. But
yes.
we don't sign up for statements like that. No, no, no. True unity comes about by the true work of the Holy Spirit of God. Transforming lives, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And we have the same salvation from sins. And sins are the breaking of God's law. This means we have to agree that sin is anomia. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. It's rebellion against the laws of God. So we have to agree on that. We have to agree that, hey, we all need to be saved from sin. We have to come to appreciate the law of God and agree on the law of God as the standard for ethics, and then receive the same salvation that comes through Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. We're cleansed by the same blood. We worship the same Savior who saved us from our sins. And friends, that is the basis for unity in the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. I'd encourage you to our book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand the zeitgeist that is corrupting the Christian church, certainly the evangelical church, in this decade. So grab a copy of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand the rules of engagement and the worldview war that's going on over the evangelical church in the 2020s. That book, Apostate, available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.